So we've helped about 60,000 people worldwide with people that can't afford glasses or they can't obtain glasses. So that's my deeper why. And so most of my profits go into that mission.
Welcome to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7, and 8-figure Amazon and e-commerce sellers, part of the amazing FBA podcast family. If you want to scale fast, target a 7-figure exit, and enjoy the process, then keep listening. Do you want to grow your business bigger and faster? A free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find missed golden opportunities. I generally charge $150 or more per hour, but this would be free. You can be a reseller or a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing a few thousand dollars a month in sales already. Just visit myamazonaudit.com, scroll down, click on Amazon Audit, and book in a time. That's myamazonaudit.com. Look forward to speaking to you on your audit. Ladles and jelly spoons, boys and girls, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast for 6, 7, and 8-figure e-commerce sellers, subset of the amazing FBA podcast family. I'm here today with Dr. Travis Ziegler, who has sold over $30 million in his personal brand. So he knows a thing or two about e-commerce and is now a PPC specialist. Many other things I could tell you about Travis, a very expert man, but first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Michael, thanks for having me. Looking forward to bringing value to your audience.
Yes, looking forward to it as well. I can see you've got your guitar in the background and a 2 Comma Club award, if I'm not mistaken. So more background about you there. So first of all, you tell people that you approach for podcasts. You're a recovering optometrist, transformed into an e-commerce entrepreneur. Tell us a tiny bit of background about yourself before we plunge into things today.
Yeah. So by trade, I'm an optometrist. I went to school for 7 years, got my doctorate in optometry, and I worked for somebody else. I didn't like that, as any entrepreneur knows. So I went from optometry to my own practices. So I did the 3 things you're not supposed to do. I quit my job, moved across the country from Ohio to South Carolina, and started 2 practices with my wife. So that was my first venture into entrepreneurship. I didn't even know what that was. That was about 10 years ago. And then I was bored because I went from seeing 6 patients an hour at my uncle's practice to 1 patient an hour at my own practice because it was brand new. And a course came across my inbox that was called Amazing Selling Machine. And I took that course and ended up building a multi-million-dollar company in the sunglasses space. Saw that selling plastic widgets from China was going to be consolidated very soon. So I started building a brand around the dry eye space. And I served dry eye sufferers. And our goal was to serve 1 million dry eye sufferers. We ended up building that to serving about 200,000. So we almost hit our goal. We had a strategic exit where we sold to a company in 2021 that would help us expand the mission even more because they were in 6,000 doctor's offices. Worked in corporate with them for 6 months. They sold to private equity. So I got to work in private equity for 12 months as a president of that company. Learned a lot in that process as well. In the meantime, I had a PPC agency and we've been building that for about 5 years. We're completely shifting that model now as well. We are turning it more into a partnership and a fractional CMO agency, and we're getting equity in a brand. So we've got 4 brands that we have equity in, and we're trying to get 5 a year. That's kind of our goal. And we also have a software in inventory management called Profitable Pineapple Express. So lots going on, but I have a great team and great people behind me that I don't have to have inputs into every field that we're going into. It's they have their own leaders in those respective fields as well.
Wow. So I'm overwhelmed even just trying to write down a few notes here. And so extraordinary overachievement, I have to say. That's amazing. So obviously what you've got to say about, we're going to talk about 80-20 of PPC today, but 80-20 in principle, the 80-20 strategy must be, from what you've just said, must be something you personally practice. Now, 80-20, by the way, Zipf's power law is the way that I prefer to put it, which is there's a very geometric mathematical relationship between inputs and outputs. So that's my version of putting it. That's an extremely unhelpful way of putting it. In other words, you know, 80% of what you do is waste of time. 20% is actually quite powerful. 4% is really powerful and 1% really, really moves the needle, right? So you sound like a guy who's very used to using that 1%. Otherwise, you couldn't possibly do all the things you just said. So tell me, what's your take on 80-20 and what that is?
So I love Pareto's principle, which is the 80-20 rule. And it's 20% of your inputs create 80% of your results, just like you said. And So as a CEO of a company, especially like an advertising agency with a software, my 80-20 is podcasts. It's getting on stage. It's releasing and amplifying the message of what we're trying to create. And our mission in our agency is to create $100 million in donations to charity, because what we're trying to do is we're trying to build your brand up to the point where you can have so much money that you're going to start donating to charity. So collectively, we want to donate $100 million to charity. Personally, we've donated over $500,000 to charity. And I don't say that to brag, because I say that because your why is not money. Your why is something deeper. It's something bigger than you. And my why is there's 1 billion people blind due to lack of glasses, and we're trying to fix that. So we've helped about 60,000 people worldwide with people that can't afford glasses or they can't obtain glasses. So that's my deeper why. And so most of my profits go into that mission. And so think about that when you're moving forward. But anyway, back to your question. So my 20% is getting on podcasts, getting on stage, amplifying our message to then get people into our ecosystem to profit more. We have an education platform. We have that partnership agency that we talked about. We have the software. My job is to get on podcasts like this to amplify that message. Now, how does that apply to, let's say, Amazon PPC? 20% of your inputs produce 80% of your results. 20% of your products produce 80% of your revenue. 20% of your customers produce 80% of your revenue. 20% of your search terms in advertising in Amazon PPC produce 80% of your revenue. And I know we're going to get into that pretty deeply today. But the problem is we're focusing over here on the 80% that's hard, like that's just not doing anything. So you have, let's say you have 10 products. Two of those are producing most of your results. The problem is we focus on the other eight. We're like, why can't we get these other eight off the ground? But if you stop doing all that and you focus on the two that are getting results, you'll probably double their sales. And then what happens is a spillover effect. If your brand is congruent, meaning that all the products are equal, they live off of one another, people are going to naturally navigate to your other products as a result of you focusing on your top products. And so what does that look like in practice? We had a hero product that sold 200 a day. Every day I woke up and thought, how can I sell more of these per day? Because I knew that if somebody got on that product, they would then buy all our other products. And those other products eventually would get up to that. So our other products would have like 10 sales a day, and then 20, then 30. And then the more products we came out with, the more all the portfolio enhanced. But everything was focused around the top sellers. So we had a hypochlorous acid spray, and that was our main seller. And we knew it was so good that everybody else would spill over to the other products. And so mistake number one I see with most sellers is they're focusing on the eight products that don't sell instead of the products that do sell, and just focusing all their time and energy on that. I'll pause there just to see if you had any comments or questions, because I can go on for hours.
Yeah, this is great. I just want to backtrack a tiny bit, not to invalidate a single word of what you've just said. But I do think the fact that you are on a mission that is about more than just making some money, which is not very inspiring either to you or your team members or to your audience. And I've never really seen anyone who doesn't at least enjoy the game, succeed in this game. So I think that's not a small thing, by the way. But the fact that you're on a mission, okay, then it matters to actually succeed. Yeah, I think what's different about what you say is you're not so much dismissing the 8 out of 10 products that don't sell, as like the solution to getting those to sell more is to sell more of the top product. I suppose another way that I would personally look at it, interested in your take on this, is that everything is subject to power laws anyway. That's just the reality of the universe, my opinion. That's how profound I think this stuff is. Therefore, if you want to move product 10, if that's the least selling of your 10 products in this scenario, the only way to do that is to raise the entire portfolio sales, because it's still going to be an 80-20 or zip power law distribution. Do you think that's true? Is that true from your experience?
100%. So like what happened with us is we had that one hero product that we were really focusing on getting it to 200 sales a day. And then we had our other 10 products. At one time we had over 90 SKUs. And we consolidated that all the way down to 16 by the time we sold. And the cool thing about it was the one hero product was our hero product. And then we had all these other ones. And then all of a sudden, a second one would start creeping up. And then we had two hero products. So we had two products selling 150 to 200 a day. And then all of a sudden, a third one started coming up. And then we had three products selling 150 to 200 a day, and then a fourth, and then a fifth. And so all we did is focus on that one product, and then two products. And those two products, I woke up every single day saying, how can I sell more of these two products? But when we sold, we had five hero products that were selling 100 to 200 a day. And that was all because we focused on the top two, and our whole brand was congruent with each other, meaning what could I come out with next for the dry eye sufferer that they already use? I had the hypochlorous acid spray. Our second product was the eyelid wipes. Then we had a different type of eyelid wipe. And then we had a warm compress, which is a mask that you put over your eyelids. We had a different warm compress. Then we were like, okay, what else do they use? Oh, a face wash. Let's come out with a face wash. Then we had an eye cream. And then we had eye makeup remover. So we came out with safer organic products around what they needed and then what they're already using. And that's how we ended up just taking off that brand and eventually selling it in 2021.
Amazing. The other thing I was going to say that reflects, it is linked with what I was saying about you obviously on a mission, you care about eye health. Like, I guess that's why you got a PhD in the subject. That's not a casual undertaking. But also you said, oh, sunglasses, and I could see that was going to be a generic thing and get consolidated. And even the way you said it, and even when you said sunglasses for China, I'm like, yeah, that's going to last 5 minutes, isn't it? And so the other thing that strikes me is tangential to today's discussion, but not really tangential to business success, is you actually are in an area where you got a PhD in the subject. So I think the fact that you really, really know your area probably helped. Would you say that's also true?
Yeah. So we catered to an audience. We built an audience of over 200,000 people across our YouTube channel, our email lists, our Facebook group. And we just educated people on how to get rid of dry eye naturally, not through medications, not even through our products. We just taught them a four-step process of getting rid of your dry eye naturally. Replace your breakfast with a green smoothie. Drink 16 ounces of water before every meal and when you wake up. Turn off your phone an hour before bedtime and read a paper book. And then write down three gratitudes every single night. That was it. And those four steps were better than any prescription medication on the market because we actually did a study on it. We did what's called an OSDI study, which is an official study in dry eye. And we took a group of 300 people through that four-step program. And after 2 months of being on that four-step program, it performed better than any prescription that was out there on the market. And so it was a focus on pure results. But in the meantime, if you need our products, here they are. And that's all we did is like, this is how you solve your dry eye. You don't need anything. But if you need some extra help, we have eyelid wipes. We have eye spray. We have warm compresses. We have this. We have that. We have an eyelid routine to keep your eyelids healthy. And so that was kind of our whole plan, was to serve and just give value, and then eventually they would buy our products because they wanted to, we would give freely all the information, and then they would respond back with the law of reciprocity and buy our products as a result.
Do you want to grow your Amazon business bigger or faster? I bet you do. If so, a free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find some golden missed opportunities. Generally, I charge at least $150 an hour these days for my time, but this is free. You can be a reseller or a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing at least a few thousand dollars a month in sales. If you are, just go to myamazonaudit.com, scroll down, click on Amazon Audit and book in a time, and we'll see each other on a Zoom call. That's myamazonaudit.com. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you on a call soon. Wow. So I'm beginning to see why you achieved such an incredible brand result, because not only do you literally have a PhD in it, so you are an expert yourself, which is unusual, by the way. I know a couple of people who've hired people with PhDs or had them as part of their business partnership, which makes a lot of sense. But you actually did the whole giving a ton of value thing as well. So that's amazing. Now, let's dial it into the more mundane 80-20 thing and PPC then. So you're one of your specialist areas with your overachieving career, PPC. So what does 80-20 look like in PPC? It's an easy theory. How does it look in practice?
Yeah, it's an easy theory and it's easy to practice as well. So what I see with most people is they overcomplicate it, and they overcomplicate Amazon ads in general. So Amazon Ads has a lot of platforms. It's got sponsored products. It's got sponsored display. It's got sponsored brands. It's got Amazon TV. It's got DSP. And you have all these different platforms that you can choose from. However, the 80-20 of Amazon is sponsored products. Sponsored products by far will increase your organic rank more. It will increase pretty much your sales more, your profit more, because the other platforms that they offer inside Amazon, they're there, but they're just a distraction for most sellers. Sponsored brand is great for when you're trying to really amplify your brand awareness and your brand messaging, but it's very expensive because you're at the top and you're going to get lots of clicks with little sales. Sponsored brand video, that's a great option as well, but it's starting to get a little more expensive. Now, there are always anomalies and there are always exceptions to the rules. We have some clients that are all sponsored brands and that's it, and they can't get started on sponsored products. So there are exceptions to the rule. I'm talking about 95% of us out here. So with that being said, forget about everything else and just focus on sponsored products. That's it. If you just focus on mastering sponsored products, you will become an expert in PPC and your life will be easier and you'll make a lot more money. And to break it down even further, with sponsored products, the old method of running ads on Amazon was like, let's just throw a bunch of keywords up and see what sticks. And that worked. That worked really well back in 2015, 2016, 2017. And then things started to change a little bit. Amazon actually cared about relevance because Amazon cares about two things. They care about high conversion rate and they care about sales velocity. Because if you think about, there are so many people that get so like, I want to learn the A9 algorithm. And it's like, you don't need to know the ins and outs of the algorithm to know what Amazon wants. You just have to think of what Amazon wants. Amazon wants sales. And they want those sales to be quick and easy. Conversion rate, sales velocity. That's it. So what we do with Amazon, or with Amazon PPC, the 80-20 of it, is we focus our advertising around the keywords that are already converting well for you, that have a high conversion rate, and that have a high sales velocity. 20% of your search terms are producing 80% of your results. So if you went to pull a search term report in Amazon PPC, you could download it and organize it and you'll have 1,000 search terms on there. And I guarantee 200 are producing most of the sales. And if you break it down even more, 40 of them are probably producing 70% of your sales, 64%. That's 80-20, 80-20. And if you just focus on those, they're higher converting and they have high sales velocity. And when you focus on those, it shoots you up in the organic rank because Amazon's like, wow, this brand is really relevant. They're getting lots of sales with a high conversion rate. So when your listing has a high conversion, Amazon wants to show you more. Now, however, it doesn't just show you for that search term. It shows you for that search term silo or that keyword silo. Meaning, I'm going to give a quick example of this to really illustrate it. And I'm going to go into one of my other points about PPC that people are, I don't want to say idiotic because that's a mean word, but they overlook. And so before I get into that though, so like if I'm trying to rank for the word sty and I have a high conversion rate for sty and a high sales velocity for sty, I'm going to hit that keyword as hard as I can. And it's going to push me up in the organic rank because I have a high sales velocity and a high conversion rate. However, Amazon knows that if I'm ranking high for sty, I'm also going to rank high for sty treatment, sty remedies, natural sty treatment, how to get rid of a sty, all the other keywords in that silo. And so when you focus on the high converting, high sales velocity keywords or search terms, you're going to increase in all the keywords that are related to that. Now, here's where we need to take it a step further. And this is a concept that people don't get. And this is probably the biggest mistake I see with PPC, is people focus on ACOS. ACOS is just a metric. It is not a metric we make big decisions on though. ACOS is just a metric of that campaign. That's it. And then you can look at it at the overall account level. However, we never make decisions on ACOS. And the reason is because it doesn't matter what your ACOS is, if you're increasing organic sales. That is the metric you want to watch, is organic sales and profit. Because we have a client right now that when we started with them, they were out of control. Like everything was out of control. And we just cleaned it up to the 80-20. We took, this is not a typical case. We took their ad spend from $140,000 a month to $25,000 a month. their sales changed zero. Like they didn't change at all. Their sales stayed the same. And then we started intelligently increasing that ad spend and getting more aggressive with their ACOS. So when we initially took them down to 25,000, we took their ACOS from 170% all the way down to 30%. And then they're in consumables, so they can be a little more aggressive, and their break even was about 70% ACOS. So we're like, we can be a lot more aggressive with this brand. So then what we did is we slowly started getting more aggressive with their ACOS target. And now we're running them at 125% ACOS. However, their sales have almost doubled as a result, and their organic profit, or their organic sales and their profit, have almost doubled as well, if not more than doubled, as a result of increasing this. And how we did that is we didn't focus on individual campaign ACOS. Some individual campaign ACOSes are in the 200%, 150% in that area, and most people would just shut those off. But the conversion rate is very, very high for those search terms, and the sales velocity is very, very high for those search terms. So therefore, even though we're running at a 200% ACOS, they're increasing our organic rank and our profit. So they're actually causing a decrease in our TACOS. Now, that is where most people get a little bit like, what did he just say? So what I'm saying here is every individual ACOS campaign does not matter, because some will run really high, some will run really low. But the metrics you need to watch are overall sales, profit, and TACOS. Because you may run hot on some campaigns, meaning a high ACOS, but it will decrease your TACOS, your total advertising cost of sale, and increase your profit. I try to say that slow,
yeah,
with examples, because it's a very hard concept to hear, and you have to kind of hear over and over and over. And can I give one more quick example just to illustrate it a little bit more?
Please.
So sty treatment, going back to my sty example, because I sold eyelid wipes, we shot for about a 70% ACOS across our account because we're in consumables as well. But the word sty treatment, we ran it at 170% ACOS. And the reason was is because it had a 45% conversion rate for our product. And we sold about five units a day on that search term alone, sty treatment. So 170% ACOS ran really high. However, it increased our organic rank. It increased our organic sales, it increased our profit, and it decreased our TACOS. And we could see it because we'd be like, okay, let's pause that campaign because it's running too high. We'd pause it, our TACOS would go up, our profit would go down because our organic rank would start to slip. So ACOS is not something you want to watch on an individual campaign level. You want to stick to watching TACOS, overall sales, and profit. That is the 80-20. Like, focusing on search terms that have high conversion rate, high relevance, and high sales velocity. And that's it. So I hope I said that in a way that made sense.
I think so. And just to reflect back, and then I've got a thing to ask about keywords. Let me put a pin in that one. So I think what you're saying, in another way of hopefully putting the same thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're basically running on traditional. Love what you're saying. I think if I rephrase this in my own words and tell me if I'm right, this is again to just try and reinforce what you say. As you say, can be a subtle point and you need to bang people at the head because it's so important. You're basically using traditional financial driven metrics. ACOS is an Amazon made up word, right? I mean, everything in digital marketing was made up 20, 30 years ago, sure. But TACOS, or total advertising cost of sales, another way of putting that is ATS, or advertising to send ratio, right? So the amount you spend on advertising in total in your business divided by the sales, or, you know, for a particular product line, right? And that is very, very old metric. So as long as you stick to that profit and sales, we stay out of the mindset that brings us in the wrong direction. And by the way, I think it's engineered by Amazon. No offense. I don't think it's a conspiracy, but I do think they are in the business of making money, like any profitable business, and they make money on ads. So I think ACOS is deliberately a little bit distracting and irrelevant, and I think that's by design. But there you go. It doesn't matter whether it is, because I could not endorse more what you just said. I think that makes so much sense. In the end, if you don't focus financially driven metrics, you're not going to make finance, I'm just saying. And all of the things you mentioned are just pure finance driven, I would say.
Now, can I comment on something you just
please
said?
Do, please.
So you said focus on profit, duh. But most Amazon sellers are so obsessed with revenue that they don't even look at profit. It's like, it's this metric that they just like, when you go to an Amazon meetup, it's like, oh yeah, how much are you doing a month? Oh, that's cool. That's cool. And nobody asks like, how much are you bringing home? How much are you actually putting in your pocket? Like nobody brags about that. But I had $0 in profit one year and did $3.2 million. And then I was like, I got to figure this out. And the next year I figured it out. We went up from 3.2 million to 4 million and we had $600,000 in profit. And so there's so many things you're doing to grow your business, but 80% of them don't do anything. And so going back to 80-20, what's the 20% that's actually working? And so when I saw $0 in profit that year, I was like, I got to figure this out. I don't want to live like this. And it was a miserable year. And that year we cut 17 members, like 80% of our advertising channels. And just, we said, just cut it. Like if it's in the bottom 80%, we're cutting it all. And we increased our profit from zero to $600,000 in one year while growing our business 20%, because we focused on the 20% that was actually working and started ignoring all the distractions over here.
Yeah, great. And yeah, as you say, most people are obsessed with revenue. I mean, I spend my life banging on about this. The mastermind members will be familiar with this rant, but yeah, I'm into that. I mean, it's your business will be sold in the end as a multiple of profits. That's how these businesses are valued in the e-commerce space, whether they're small or big. I mean, yeah, there are 22 different ways that, you know, Harvard values a business. I don't think very many of them are based on just revenue. If you've got some really sexy startup that's venture backed, you know, that's a different world, but that's not the world we're in. Anyway, so now keywords. You mentioned that if you've got a great conversion rate for the keyword STI, for example, which I would call a sort of STEM keyword or a really short one, the other thing come out of, as you mentioned, STI remedies, STI treatment, etc. Right. Now, the interesting thing is that there is a school of thought, which I can understand, that says you should be trying to rank for STI treatment or STI remedies or whatever, focus on those longer tail keywords, sort of medium tail keywords, if you will, in order to then ultimately rank for STI. What you were saying sounded to me like you were saying you did it the opposite way. Am I right? And if so, what's your thinking about this?
Yeah, not necessarily. It's whatever the data's given me. So what we usually do is we'll start out with our research keywords. So like whatever keywords we found through research. So STI might be one of those, STI treatment, longer tail ones, mid tail ones, whatever you want to say. And then what we do is we'll go after those keywords or those search terms and we'll see what rises to the top. And so whatever rises to the top are the ones that we then start to scale, and we'll scale fast and furious, because if they have a high conversion rate and they are proving sales velocity in our test, then we'll scale them. So what I like to say is we make small bets, meaning small campaigns, $5 to $20 a day to test out different search terms. And then when we see a search term that's winning, meaning high conversion rate, high sales velocity, when I say high sales velocity, I mean like if it's making a sale a day on that advertising campaign, that's going to be a high sales velocity keyword, because that's 30 over the course of a month. And so then I find that search term and I go all in. I then start to raise the bids. I then start to raise the budgets. And so small tests, always start out small and then scale. There is no advertising method that ever says like, you should just put a bunch of money to it. But that's what we do. That's what I see all the time. But you need to start out small, prove, and a search term report, if you're already running ads, a search term report tells you what you're winning on. And all you got to do is scale those and ignore all the rest. So similar to what you said, we research that for the mid to long tail keywords. We'll go after those first. And then we'll go after the larger volume, like the word STI. STI treatment is actually the number one in that category, but STI is another huge one. And so we won't go after those right away unless it's proven to us that we've already got conversion rate and sales velocity from it.
Yeah. I mean, Jen, I suppose the thinking for that is it's mostly more competitive, right? It's harder to rank for the bigger. It doesn't really so much matter whether it's STI or STI treatment. You know, they tend to be shorter, don't they? But it's more important what the search volume is. So more search volume, assuming it's mostly pretty good commercial intent, because it's Amazon, it's not Google, then tends to be more competitive. I mean, it's harder to rank and it's also more expensive to bid on, right? So I guess that's the thinking, isn't it, behind going after the slightly longer tail keywords. So it sounds like if I summarize, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is the nitty gritty that I hope people can take away. You can make small bets, $5 to $20 a day and campaigns. Presumably, if I'm correct, on the medium and long tail keywords, the ones that are easier to win and cheaper to win. And then you're going to raise your bids and raise the budgets on the winners. Is that about right?
100%.
Okay, good. Just thought I'd get that. Yeah, so not super complicated, but I think what I'm taking from this, and different people listening will take different things, but it is, again, the ignoring or cutting of the waste as much as it is focusing on the top 20%. Is that fair? Because you were saying you cut a lot of stuff in that year when you made $3.2 million in revenue, and you could brag at the bar all night in an Amazon convention, but you actually had no money to take home. The next year, you'd cut 80%. Do you think the focus on the cutting is the more important mental focus? Where would you put it?
Well, when you cut the 80% that's not doing anything in your business and in your life, you just naturally go to focus on the 20% that's actually working. And you'll naturally increase revenues and profits, and everything will enhance because of that. Because you are cutting the 80%, and therefore you're focusing on the 20% that's actually working. And when that happens, everything takes off.
Nice. I like it. And also something like cutting that takes a lot of courage, but is intellectually very simple. So you know exactly what to do. Whether you have the cojones, I'm trying to swear in my own podcast, to do it and to follow through on that mastermind statement or thing you've said to your coach or thing you said in the bar at 2 a.m. is another thing, isn't it? Right. Now, I've got one talking point here that you put in here, which I can't resist. What is a ninja hack that takes less than 20 minutes to implement but can boost sales? That sounds like a great bit of clickbait. Let's hear this one.
One of the best things you can do for, this is just a ninja hack that works for pretty much anybody, it doesn't matter what space you're in, is variations. And so creating, it's a very simple ninja hack. I like simplicity in my life, if you couldn't tell. But a 1-pack, a 3-pack, a 6-pack. Those variations are so big for your Amazon business because it doesn't matter what you sell, someone will always buy the 3-pack and 6-pack. And so we sold consumables that made a little more sense, but we also sold sunglasses in 3-packs and 6-packs. And people bought them because of like weddings and things like that. So whatever you sell, come out with a variation of a 3-pack and a 6-pack. And what you can do then is you can advertise the 6-pack on your 1-pack and you can be a lot more aggressive, or you can take your 6-pack and advertise it on your competitors and you can bid a lot higher because you have so much profit on that 6-pack. And so then you can take over product detail pages of your competitors as a result, because you can bid like $25, because you'll take over all your competitors and you'll be number one in the spot and you'll have that 6-pack right there. So like our 1-pack was 30. Our 6-pack was 120. It was buy four, get two free. And we could take that 6-pack and advertise it on all our competitors and bid $20 because our margin was so large. Our margin was like $100. And so we could handle lots of clicks. And even if they come over, they might buy the 1-pack or 3-pack, but most of them still bought the 6-pack. So that's a little ninja hack that you can use that helps quite a bit. Doesn't matter what you sell.
Nice. That is really, really good. I mean, I'm really sold on the variations and the profitability of selling things in bundles. By the way, it doesn't matter what you sell. Some people, and my wife happens to be one of them, so I'm not, but I'm always amazed when something is a bargain, my wife buys it, and then we'll see afterwards whether we actually needed it, which leads to the odd marital discussion, as you can imagine. But, you know, a lot of people shop that way. So if it's a 6-pack and it seems like a bargain, people will just buy it. If they like sunglasses, they'll buy, you know, my wife, I like 40 or 50 tubs of face cream at a time just because they are on offer, not necessarily related to need. So people shop that way. So I really think this goes deeper than a lot of people think on the selling side of the equation. If your buying habits don't happen to be that, and mine aren't, but because I've seen my wife do that, I know how deep that goes. So variations, 100%. But they're advertising a 6-pack on a competitor listing that's selling 1-pack. That's a stroke of genius. I love that. I really, really like that. Well, look, we've got a lot to talk about in our next episode about creating a perpetual sales machine. That sounds like the next ASM name, doesn't it? But we've talked about your mission, which I think is not a small part of your success. But obviously, you're also a very, very practical man. You offer a lot of practical services for people around PPC management specifically. So tell us a little bit about what you offer people, like any sort of books, like free courses, or paid stuff.
Yeah, so we have a free Amazon PPC course at profitablepineapple.com. And it is better than any paid course out there. I can guarantee that. And it will teach you the 80-20 philosophy. And once you implement the 80-20 philosophy, then you'll realize just what you've been missing. And that course helps you really understand how to do PPC and just understand the basics around it as well. And then we also have a coaching and mastermind around Amazon PPC as well. You can find that at profitablepineapple.com as well. And what we do in that mastermind is we actually take it to the next level, where we start to show you how to use automation and software in the 80-20 philosophy. But the free course, you don't need any software for it. It's just kind of there. It's a standalone. It's doing research with just what Amazon gives you, essentially. And then we also have an inventory management software. That's at profitablepineappleexpress.com. Most people are using outdated spreadsheets that don't dynamically update, which is very sad. Whereas an inventory management software updates every single hour. And in the time it takes you to check your email, just one email, 5 minutes, you open up the software, you know exactly what you need to order, when you need to order it by, and what you need to ship where. And the problem is, we're like trying to pull all this data ourselves onto spreadsheets when you can just have a software do it for you. And we give you a 30-day trial for $1. So that's at profitablepineappleexpress.com. And it really helps with managing bundles, because there's not really a good way to manage bundles other than thinking about, like, this bundle's a 6-pack. And then we have to times this many sales times 6 to get how many we sold on this single unit. And we actually put in there how to track Amazon product bundles in the software. We built in an integration for that. So profitablepineappleexpress.com for that. And then profitablepineapple.com for the free Amazon PPC course.
Amazing. Well, you're obviously a man who's thought a lot about this and really streamlined it to the nth degree here. And yeah, the $3.2 million in sales and no profit, that explains to me why a lot of really great wisdom that seems very simple and is very simple comes on the back of some hard experience. And so you've been there yourself. And I can tell, because what you produce is honed and only what you need and nothing you don't, which is great. So thank you so much, Travis Ziegler. We're going to talk in the next show, but in the meantime, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Do you want to grow your Amazon business bigger or faster? I bet you do. If so, a free audit of your Amazon business can help you see and avoid threats and find some golden missed opportunities. Generally, I charge at least $150 an hour these days for my time, but this is free. You can be a reseller or a brand owner. All I ask is that you're doing at least a few thousand dollars a month in sales. If you are, just go to myamazonaudit.com, scroll down, click on Amazon Audit and book in a time, and we'll see each other on a Zoom call. That's myamazonaudit.com. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you on a call soon. Thanks for listening to the 10K Collective podcast for 6- and 7-figure Amazon sellers. I really hope you found the show helpful to you. Please don't forget to subscribe to the show. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please do leave us a quick star rating. It will take you all of 30 seconds to do it, but it does mean we can be found by and help many more e-commerce business builders. I wish you fast and profitable scaling, and I hope you enjoy the process of building your 7-figure Amazon business. Thanks very much for listening.